Live from the In the Room studios located in the Net Carrier and Cloud, this is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Welcome to Thursday night. Welcome to the Witching Hour. Welcome to the Brunettes with her. Almost said the name of the show. The name of the show is not the name of that song. The name of that song is Mars Loves Venus. The name of the show is Her Dork World, His Dork World. I'm Dean Compton. We're live on VOC Nation. You know it's worldwide. You know it's VOCNation.com. You know I do Compton After Dark at 11:30 on Sunday nights. But what you may not know is that my lovely girlfriend, Emily Scott, co-hosts this show with me. And ain't nobody out there that can do a better job of bringing you the best in gender dynamics when it comes to genre culture or dork culture or what have you. And one of the best things about Miss Scott is she is incredibly open-minded. And we were talking just prior to the show about people who get proven wrong, like, you know, Ann Coulter talking about the World Cup, and when she's like, ain't nobody in America gives a fuck about soccer, and somebody's like, well, 21 million people watched it, and this last match, more people watched the NBA Finals or the World Series. She goes, that doesn't matter, and continued on that same damn path. Emily Scott, though, my beloved girlfriend, she doesn't engage in such behavior because she told me that she would never like professional wrestling, Emily, but then I took you to the extreme.
I have to say, when we started doing the show, the thing that I was dread might be a strong word, but the thing that I was not looking forward to the most was I knew eventually I'd be watching some wrestling, and it's been probably the most pleasant surprise that I've had so far of you sharing your dork world with me. I'm feeling very
extreme. Well, I remember
extreme,
you weren't even convinced that it was part of the dork genre.
We did debate this for a long time, whether or not, you know, I was trying to argue Jane Austen should be something, you know, under our umbrella we could talk about. You were saying not so much. And I was like, what about wrestling? What's dirty about that? That's, you know, the stuff of the people.
Well, well, one of the things that I've always said about pro wrestling that I think firmly entrenches it with, you know, within the confines of dork culture is just the attention to the nuances, the fervent nature of the fan base, the attention to continuity by the fan base that maybe the promotions and the people in charge of it don't really give so much of a hell about. Or shit, rather. I don't know how you give a hell about something, but, you know, whatever. Excuse me. And, of course, the colorful, amazing characters and antics. And even if the jury is still out on that one, if you got an opinion on this, 855-VOC-RADIO is how you can talk to us. 855-862-7234 if you like it better with the numbers. There's one thing that the jury is not out on, and that is that love wrestling, hate wrestling, love the 90s, hate the 90s. Nothing captured the zeitgeist of the 90s, possible exception of Rob Liefeld, more than Extreme Championship Wrestling.
Absolutely, and watching it now, it makes me very, I don't know if nostalgic. Lots of things make me nostalgic for the 90s in a way that makes me feel old, and I tried very hard to avoid for a long time, but you know, you see the hair, you see the awful fashion. Like, lots of 90s fashion was actually pretty good, but you look out and it's sort of still early, mid-90s. There's lots of mullets, lots of acid wash denim. And these are things I don't even like, but watching them going, oh, I remember that stuff.
That was all the rage with the kids.
And I think definitely the overall tone of it is there's something sort of inherently 90s about it.
Yeah,
and,
but I am going to say that it's not so inherently 90s that it hasn't aged well. It has aged incredibly well. It is much better than anything you will see on TNA Impact or World Wrestling Entertainment today. And one of the things I really like to hammer home with you, and you've heard me say this once, you've heard me say it 7,218 times, And that is that Extreme Championship Wrestling, one of the reasons why people would like it, particularly people who say, I don't like wrestling and never would, is it's not just a great wrestling promotion. They don't just put on good matches. It's genuinely compelling television.
It really is. And I think, you know, when we were talking about, oh, is this, you know, does this fall under dork culture or not? And you were like, well, the fans are so fervent. And I think at that time I had made the counter argument. Well, you could say that about anything. Like, you know, within baseball, there are fans that are incredibly. Well, I have a greater point here. You know, any sport or anything like this, you know, like NASCAR has fans that are super, super into it and can tell you all the statistics and all the points and what racer did what or whatever, but that doesn't necessarily make it nerd culture. But the fans with ECW, it's really like nothing I've ever seen before. And that kind of changed my mind a little bit.
I think it's a lot like what? Something you've seen before, and I think it's a lot like something we've discussed before, and that's the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Actually, yeah. Now that you say that, that is an apt comparison to make, where fans become part of the show.
And in some
cases, a way that you don't see with a lot of other stuff.
Yeah, and in some cases, the show with ECW fans. For those of you out there who aren't aware, and I don't reckon many of you out there on the old VOC Nation airwaves ain't familiar with the greatness that was Extreme Championship Wrestling. What a few of you may not know is, and that Emily's seen as we've watched various cards and matches from ECW, is that the fans had fans. In the ECW arena, hat guy, sign guy, the guy I call Vampiro, Rob Zombie, they're all there. But when they do shows from, like, Dayton, Ohio, people dress up like them.
Well, I think it's some of those peripheral things that sort of end up being not peripheral eventually that really make it appeal to me more than really any other wrestling. The wrestling itself, as great as it is and as great as these performers are and the storylines are compelling, whatever, it's all those other things, too, on top of that. That, I don't know, it feels exclusive when you're watching it. It feels like you're part, even now, 20 years removed from watching it, you could tell if, you know, it's something that felt like it was yours. And
yeah, that's
things
one of
like
the
that.
That I've said. Oh, go on, sorry.
I when you told me, like, oh, I was like, wait, why is there a guy dressed like Sign Guy next to Sign Guy? And you're like, that's not actually Sign Guy. There's this character named Sign Guy Dudley, and that guy is dressed like that guy. And he's sitting three seats down from the original Sign Guy. And it's just, I don't know, that it appeals to me almost in the same way like a show like Community does. There's like a meta-ness to it. There's a layer upon layer upon layer that just is really appealing and that you can get really, really into and invested in somehow.
Oh, absolutely. And
all of a sudden I'm watching a match and I'm like, where's Sign Guy? What's Sign Guy done? What happened to Sign Guy? Is he sick? Like, did something bad happen?
One of the things I'm going to ask callers to refrain from are any massive spoilers post-1995. Emily and I are making our way through what is arguably the greatest year in pro wrestling history, that being 1995 Extreme Championship Wrestling. She doesn't know how many of the angles pan out. If you know dates, we're in June. We are in June, and if you call in at 855-VOC-RADIO, 855-862-7234, like the guy who just called in and then hung up before I could get to him, maybe he's not extreme enough for this show. Maybe he doesn't understand things, you know?
Oh, my God. You made me forget my point now. I was channeling.
Well, here, who needs a point?
It's
extreme.
No one needs a point. It's extreme. It's extreme. That's the thing. We've watched so much of this, and I never, ever thought when we started out doing this that I would want to watch so much of it voluntarily. Just going to watch some more of this. It starts to, like, permeate your, like, mindset. Like, now, like, I start just casually, like, if I'm just daydreaming, I start looking around for stuff I could hand to the wrestler who's not there to hit his opponent with. Like, whereas, you know, a lot of times I might look around and be like, if a zombie came in right now, what would be a good weapon to grab? And I'm like, what would I hand to Taz if he was, you know?
Yeah, when you talk about wrestling being during culture or not, that is the exact attitude that makes it such. People love Jane Austen, but unless you're some snooty NPR liberal, you don't filter a bunch of Jane Austen references into your conversation and annoy people with it. But wrestling, like, the more you watch, the more all of a sudden you are referring to everything in wrestling terms, whether they be insider wrestling terms or just, you know, stuff that you see, like, oh, damn, what a powerbomb, that motherfucker.
Like, if I see someone do something cool or, like, say something really cool, I'm like, where's the chant? Like, no one's making a chant right now.
Like, you want to get in on an ECW chant? We're live. 855 VOC Radio, 855-862-7234, right here, VOC Nation Worldwide. Always the best wrestling talk. You don't usually get it here on Her Dork World, His Dork World. We're giving it to you tonight, folks, so you better get in on this one. When it comes to Extreme Championship Wrestling, when I first suggested that, and we covered Barely Legal probably about a month ago, I want to know, like, what your specific reservations in regard to ECW might have been. I'm aware of your overall objections to professional wrestling, but when I told you about ECW, and I told you this was something you'd like, and you kind of touched upon that earlier when you were like, oh, I feel like I'm part of an exclusive club. This was definitely an exclusive club. This came on at 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning in places, Friday and Saturday nights. If you didn't want to be a part of this club, if you didn't want to join the revolution that they invited you to be a part of at the beginning, you couldn't. Well, now you're a part of it. Tell me what your biggest reservation, maybe a misconception or two about ECW in particular was.
Well, I have to say ECW is actually the wrestling I maybe knew the most about. And when I say that, I mean I knew very, very little about it, of any wrestling promotion. And I had been told by people other than you that if I was going to like any wrestling, that would probably be the wrestling that I would like. And
those,
you know,
people
aren't
as brave as I promise you, you would like it.
at the same time, you know, I think you've also been afraid to sort of scare me off. Like, every time when I'm like, hey, maybe you want to watch more ECW, like, you get this look, like, you're afraid if you say yes. Like, I'm immediately going to be like, it was a trap. I'm never watching that again.
Well, it isn't that so much as I don't ever want to seem unfair. Emily and I, we both have different things we like to watch. Emily's sweetheart lets me watch more Major League Baseball than your girlfriend does. I promise you that, son. I promise you that. And she's a real sweetheart. I try and we ain't watching baseball. Try and be fairly equitable and you know, watch stuff that I know you'll be inclined to really like, or at least stuff that we'll both like. And so it's not that I'm not, you know, not trying to scare you off from Extreme Championship Wrestling. It's just that, you know, I don't want to seem greedy. And then part of it is I'm just still in, you know, goddamn bamboozle land where I don't even know, you know, I'm like, I can't believe how wrestling was, you know, essentially your antithesis not even 6 months ago. And now ain't a day that goes by when you don't ask me about a little bit of that ECW.
It's amazing. It was amazing to me how fast it got under my skin and how quickly I wanted more. Like, well, what happened? What did Rob Van Dam do next? I need to know. Like,
but go on with a couple of your misconceptions. We got away from the topic. Finish your thought for sure, but then we'll get back to that. Then we got to break.
How it had been described to me, when I say that I knew at least a little bit more about it than other wrestling, I knew that it was extreme. I knew that people took stuff to matches to give to wrestlers to hit each other with. I knew that, you know, the fans had a particular reputation, et cetera. I thought that it was all going to be like the Rotten Boys, Brothers, whatever the hell they're called. I like that part of it. I thought it was I thought it was going to be all people taking cheese graters to each other and hitting each other with hockey sticks and shit. Like, I just thought, you know, that's what all of it was. And that's why it was extreme. And that even now that we've launched a bunch of it, is the part of it that, while I like it sometimes if it's done right, sort of appeals to me the least.
Well, what I've noticed, and we've said this as we're watching it, is when it comes to the extreme violence, you really don't like the Rottens because you don't like the feud, you don't like the characters, you don't care what happens to either of them.
Well, there's very little to that story, too. It's just, oh, they were tag team partners, now they can't be anymore, so now they just fight each other a bunch, and they hold up baseball bats with barbed wire around it as though that somehow, like, is the show in and of itself, and they don't actually have to try hard past that. Like, to me, what's really appealing is some of these guys that actually possess a great deal of skill, and you're watching it, and it's just so impressive the things that they can do. You know, some of these really large men, these very muscular men, doing sort of very graceful things.
That to me is infinitely more impressive.
Anybody, if you're willing to take it, anybody can, you know, be smacked with something.
Well,
it takes a certain amount of guile.
I don't know that that's necessarily true. You know, I get what you're saying. But I think when it comes to the violence, is two things for you. And we're going to take a break after my thought, because I'm the one producing the show, so I get to go last. It ain't fair, folks, but that's how it is. But we'll come back and talk about it more on the other side of the break. But when it comes to the violence, it seems that you want two things out of it. You can't handle the rotten matches, and they are literally rotten. Like, I'm not a big fan either. I liked the first couple that we saw after they broke up with after the Bad Breed broke up. But then, I mean, they had like a barbed wire baseball that match, they had like a nails match, probably a fucking loser gets a tequila enema match. I don't know. But then all of a sudden they're like, oh, here's a hair versus hair match. You're like, what's that going to solve? You are raking cheese graters on each other's heads, man. How's this going to solve anything, And the spots are just awful. It's just basically them taking turns wailing on each other. You don't care about the characters. You don't care about the feud. Conversely, you're very interested in the Cactus Jack Sandman feud, and they fought a bunch. They fought several times.
Oh, yeah. The difference there is, as you're touching on, there's an actual story, like, with the Rotten Brothers, the story is, now they fight each other, and that's about it, whereas with Cactus Jack, you're watching him cut one of the best promos you've ever seen, and then he's wrestling, so all of a sudden, there's a level of investment there I could never muster for these other guys, because they're just not selling me on it. One-tenth of as much as Mick Foley is.
Well, and the other thing, too, though, and Sandman's a great character, too. I think you like Sandman, and while I don't think you care for Woman's Name or Woman too much, her and Sandman are a good package. And it doesn't hurt that, like, that feud, unlike the Rottens, has drawn some other people in, e.g. The franchise Shane Douglas. But also, they're much more creative with their violence. It's not – I'm not saying this doesn't happen to an extent in their matches – But it's not just, oh, I rubbed on you with a cheese grater, now it's your turn to do it to me, or I'm going to dig this barbed wire on the baseball bat into your forehead, then you'll do it to me. The spots that, highlight, going through a table or getting whacked with that cane or taking a flaming branding iron to the face, they mean more because the characters are just deeper and more ingratiated with us. But also the spots are more well thought out, and they more seem to be things that happen because the two guys wrestling naturally built to that. And they hate each other so much it can't just be solved with pile driver ain't gonna solve this. I need to pile drive this motherfucker through a table. You know what I mean? And we'll build up to that point as opposed to your turn, my turn, which has its place sometimes, but that place is certainly not the Rotten Brothers matches.
Right. There's the wrestling in between these horrifically violent things as opposed to it just being, as you said, just a back and forth. Well, now I'm going to scrape you with some barbed wire. Now you're going to lob some around me. Now we're going to hit each other with a chair. Now I'm going to hit you with a chair. Now I'm going to hold up this baseball bat again. And
but,
they don't wrestle.
But
there's no actual wrestling. And you want to talk about, my misconception was that's what it was. And so it was an incredibly pleasant surprise to see, Eddie Guerrero, Rey Mysterio Jr., people who actually wrestle.
My favorite wrestler of all time, the Shooter, Dean Malenko. another guy in the things you're talking about. But I think even the violence itself, it's more like, oh, Mick Foley puts a chair on top of somebody, then drops a chair on top of it, you know, on top of them with his big elbow. Or, you know, I mean, or Raven drop toe holds somebody into a chair. You know, I mean, it's like we'll incorporate this violence into wrestling moves instead of it just being, you know, what to me is pretty much just a sick freak show. And that's saying a lot because a lot of the stuff I like about ECW is a sick freak show.
Right, but there has to be something else there. And like I said, it's not like anybody can do what the rotten guys do. Like, you have to definitely have a certain amount of, you know, toughness to do that. But it's not the same as Dean Malenko honing his skills over years, and you're seeing the culmination of lots and lots of hard work in a very entertaining show. It's night and day.
Yeah, and of course, I think another difference, and we're really going to go to break after this, and we'll talk more about this last point on the other side of it, and that is that the Rottens are like a circus. You go to the circus to see some bizarre stuff happen, but you only go once a year. Eddie Guerrero versus Dean Malenko is like, it's like a sporting event. You have a vested interest in whoever wins and loses. Like, you're upset when it's a draw. You're like, I want to know who is better. With the Rottens, it's not that you want to know who's better. You want to see. It doesn't even matter who wins. Who cares?
I still forget which one's which. I still can't remember which one is which.
Well, you're probably not the only one. This Her Dork World, His Dork World, right here live, VOC Nation Worldwide. We're going to break now. I'm Dean Compton, Emily Scott alongside me. You want to be a part of this on the other side of the break? Get extreme with us. I dare you. Get hardcore. 855-VOC-RADIO, 855-862-7234. On the other side of the break, we'll talk about some specific matches. We'll talk about specific wrestlers Emily likes. And we'll probably also tell you a bunch of ways you can reach us besides the number. Here's the most extreme bump music in the history of internet radio.
It's an invitation across the nation. A chance to go for me.
Live from the In The Room studios located in the Net Carrier and Cloud, this is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Hey everyone, it is your favorite knockout, Mickey James, and you're listening to the VOC Nation.
Hey there, hi there, ho there. Thanks for coming on down. It's Save Wrestling, the podcast, and the business making town. I am your award-winning hostess with the mostest, Shelly Funtime Martinez, and she is my co-host, Dazzling Danielle.
Woo! Hello out there.
And together we are the Martinez Girls. You finally did it. And you can join us here Monday, new time, 6 p.m. Eastern on the VOC Nation as we save wrestling together, Danielle. Fighting crime.
Hey guys, Brady Hicks here, Pro Wrestling Illustrated contributing writer and the host of In The Room, thebradyhicks.com, and for the first time ever, vocnation.com. So happy to be part of the family. Join us each and every Tuesday night, 9, 8 central, vocnation.com, thebradyhicks.com, myself, DJ, Derek McDonald, Ray Bogus, Anthony Sarlo, Kathy Fitz, breaking down all that's going on in wrestling today, and so much more.
RF Video is the world's leading distributor of pro wrestling merchandise and DVDs. They have over 5,000 wrestling titles to choose from your favorite wrestling promotions, WWE, TNA, ECW, and every wrestling promotion in between. RF Video is famous for their shoot interview series where they sit down with your favorite wrestlers from around the world, including the biggest names, Shawn Michaels, Ric Flair, Dusty Rhodes, Terry Funk, just to name a few. RF Video has many other unique DVDs to offer, like their in-ring series, face-off DVDs, best-of DVDs with your favorite wrestlers from every promotion around the world. Check out their sister video on demand website, rfvideonow.com, or you can purchase any
of RF Video's DVDs by going to rfvideo.com. Head there today.
The most polarizing personalities worldwide. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Looking for a DJ? Looking for someone to host your event? Then look no further. Philadelphia's hottest DJ and host, The Voice of Choice. The Voice of Choice has hosted the hottest events in the tri-state area. Book The Voice of Choice for all your karaoke, conventions, and parties. Go to www.vocnation.com for more information or email The Voice of Choice at voc@vocnation.com.
Are you getting lost in the cloud? Is technology moving too fast for you? Find your way at netcarrier.com. Ride the NCloud and soar above your competition.
This is Becky Nova, your Candyland princess, and I want everyone to know that I love VOCNation.com.
Hey, how's it going? This is Amy Dumas, but you may know me as Lita. You're listening to the VOC Nation.
That's the Red Dwarf music. That means we've returned from break. I want to thank you very much for sticking with us through the break. I also want to thank you very much for bearing with us last week when we did not do a show. Unfortunately, my grandmother, who you guys have heard about a few times and lent a bunch of prayers and good vibes to, she did pass away. And I just want to thank everybody out there for keeping us in mind. Didn't want to start the show off on a downer. It's supposed to be extreme. So I'm just going to start this segment off on one. Bear with me, but thank you so much for your respect and kindness in that moment of mourning for my family. If you want to reach us, and you can always send me more, oh, I'm sorry, your grandma died, Dean, stuff to us and the following stuff. We're on the Facebook, facebook.com/herdorkworld. We're on Twitter at HDWHEWRadio. You can email us, HDWHEWRadio@gmail.com. Emily, give them the Tumblr.
That would be hdwhdwradio.tumblr.com.
My brother Ray really wants us to get a Snapchat. We are not getting a Snapchat.
I don't know what the point of the show having one would be. Perhaps if you want individually to do it, that would be fine, but I really don't. I don't see it as us, you know, reaching out to the listeners.
You want to be the Snapchat person for HDW, for Her Dork World, His Dork World, let us know. Let us know. We'll talk to you about it. But we ain't getting a Snapchat.
No, I mean, it's mostly for dick pics, right? That's
what I understand. Same thing with Vine, right?
Well, then it's videos of dicks.
Dick vid, B-vid.
Cute animals, some of that. Cute kids.
Oh, yeah. Well, speaking of cute animals.
The spectrum.
Speaking of cute animals, Emily, we are going on with the show now. Speaking of cute animals that you wanted to talk to me about during the break. Speaking of cute animals that you wanted to get on the show. Speaking of cute animals and extreme, we have a very extreme addition to our household. A great kitten. Everybody, his name's Too Cold Scorpio.
My suggestion, which I think a lot of people were very surprised about, but if anything, that should be an indicator of just how quickly I was won over by this excellent wrestling promotion.
Yeah. You're just like, well, you were won over by Too Cold Scorpio, though, from a world championship wrestling vignette they made of him. And you can find it on YouTube where he I don't
it's
even
one
know
of the most amazing
it.
Things I've ever seen. No snark here whatsoever. It's just amazing.
He helps these kids stay away from the game room and stay in school via stepping. And one of the couplings when it comes to the lines was, you know, like a Gulf War brother, he attacks from the air. I don't know
I don't
who should
really
be the most offended by that. Like, should black people be offended? Gulf War veterans, veterans in general, black veterans? I don't know. You got an opinion. It's 855 VOC Radio, 855-862-7234. I'm still daring that caller who called it earlier to call back. He's on for, like, 10 seconds. Couldn't get him on. Like, I don't think he's extreme enough to handle it tonight.
Perhaps he's afraid we will somehow come through the radio and, like, smack him with a chair. We won't. We will not do that. We promise.
I might. I
just made a promise. Come on now.
I might. Well, you promised. I didn't.
All right, I won't. It's the best I can do for you.
It's the best I can give as well.
I might hand him the chair. Because as a lady, that will be my role. That's one thing I feel like we maybe should address, seeing as gender dynamics are, one of the primary focuses of this show. This is not a place, and I feel like this probably just goes without saying, it being professional wrestling and it being the 90s, this is not a place one would go to find any sort of positive representation of women, really, just at all.
You know what? I'm going to have to disagree with you there. I think Francine's a really good character. I think
Gila
McGillicuddy.
Well, I haven't seen this yet, so.
You've seen a little of it.
I will say that with the caveat. There's a lot I still have not seen, but.
Now I'm
so
going to disagree with you there. You're not putting things together. Okay, you've seen Francine. We're just seeing her debut in 95, right?
Right.
Like she's the Stevie Richards groupie. Okay, now you saw her with the Pitbulls, and you saw her turn on the Pitbulls to join the franchise Shane Douglas, and you have also seen her accompany the franchise Shane Douglas to the ring in a continuation of that feud with the Pitbulls at Barely Legal 1997. I feel like, you know, that's in a two-year span, that's a lot of character development to go from this groupie to, you know, being the valet of the franchise of the company, literally the franchise of the company.
I don't know, but then what is her actual, her role is to stand there and be a hot lady and occasionally, like, you know, get a chum shot in on somebody. I don't know if that counts as character development. I'm not sure.
No, I disagree. When she starts out, she's a, and I'm not, and listen, I don't disagree with your overall point necessarily. There is, when it comes to pro wrestling, even today, women tend to get the short shrift. If you disagree, you're just being self-delusional. You know, that's all there is to it. It's better now than it was, certainly better than in the 90s. But the character of Francine, that's a huge thing. Think about it. She goes from the groupie wanting to be accepted to being in charge of the Pitbulls, and they call her their master because that's sort of their gimmick. But there's a whole dominatrix thing, subtext thing going on there. And then she joins Shane Douglas as the head cheerleader. And obviously there's a lot of sexual connotation there, but to go from someone who just wants to belong to someone who wants to dominate big guys to wanting to be alongside the franchise of the company, if that's not character development, Emily, I really don't know what is.
But she is wholly defined by who she's standing around while they wrestle.
No,
I disagree.
I think that she changes who she is and then surrounds herself with the wrestlers she wants to be then. It's not like franchise.
I haven't heard her say a word yet.
Well, we haven't seen her on the ECW Hardcore TV. We've only seen her at larger events, pay-per-views, and a big event. I think it was House Party 96. Somebody can correct me if I'm wrong. 855-VOC-RADIO, 855-862-7234. I think it's House Party 96 when she turns on the Pitbulls and joins franchise Shane Douglas. Those aren't avenues where people get to speak for the most part, period, unless they go on some like long 7-minute promo that no one cares about. Unless they're Bill Alfonso. Everybody likes that guy.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know,
oh, yeah.
I mean, like that's the thing. These events are designed for wrestling. They're not designed for the most part for talking. You know, I mean, I'm not saying you're necessarily entirely incorrect, but I am saying that I think the character of Francine developed, and she went from that groupie to the point where when ECW ends, she calls herself and is considered by her fellow wrestlers, her colleagues, and the fans of Extreme Championship Wrestling to be the queen of extreme. That, you know, from that auspicious beginning to that level of respect from everyone, that's a lot of development.
Well, I will concede that, you know, I said earlier, you know, I have this caveat here. If there are things that I am not privy to, have not seen, then obviously, you know, that would discount some of what I'm saying. But from what I have seen so far, that's really all there has been to it. He stands there. And occasionally, you know, slap somebody or some shit like that.
Well, she gets super bombed too. And I think that's the most important thing about the women of ECW. It is denigrated for being so violent against women. And I understand that. And I'm not saying that's not something we shouldn't point out. But I also think that there's a level of respect for women in Extreme Championship Wrestling that did not exist prior, because women were willing to be so physically involved in angles, which didn't happen a whole lot prior. And without ECW, for better or worse, we don't get the late 90s, early 2000s phenomenon that is Chyna, who was not just a big pro wrestler. She was a household name at that time.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I'm not saying that there is nothing positive there. I'm just saying that it's definitely something that I sort of – I mean, there are lots and lots of things I just couldn't enjoy, most things really – if my issues with the representation of women prevented me from liking them at all. So
it's not
that this is something that, you know, I like lots of sci-fi that does not really, you know, represent women particularly well or complex or whatever. And some part of me just has to kind of grin and be like, well, this is what there is. What do I like about it? And it's not that it detracts from my enjoyment of ECW, but definitely something that, you know, is in the back of my mind, like, but doesn't quite. But then as we were watching it, and you said something about, like, look at how many women are actually, like, more than you would think are in the audience.
Yeah, somewhere between 5 and 7% of that audience is women. And if that audience, like, if that audience is 5 to 7% women, I promise you somewhere between, it could have been between 15 to 20% if they felt like it was a safe environment. And I don't want to hear otherwise, fellas. I know you might take up board or whatever, but no single woman by herself, I don't necessarily mean unattached, but by herself would have felt comfortable in the ECW arena.
And it's not
very few.
It's not that women being there somehow makes it all okay, but it, there was something that was just sort of an extra level of, like, icky to me watching it, and you just look out and you see sort of like just a sea of dudes cheering, women being very brutally treated, etc. But it did at least slightly alter my perception of it to look out and be like, there are lots of women here who are genuinely enjoying this and, you know, are just as into it, seem to be, as any other fan here.
And let's also keep in mind the women that we've seen brutalized so far, Beulah McGillicuddy, the late Nancy Benoit, woman, and Francine, they deserved it. They fucking deserved it. Not because they were women. Not because they were women, but because they were evil. They were the bad guys, and they were screwing over the good guys. And when the good guys got a chance, you know, I mean, to me, it's like a comic book. We don't get mad when, say, Black Adam punches Wonder Woman. We're not like, oh, how do we let that happen to women? No, I mean, he's evil, she's good. Or when Superman thrashes Maxima, or Batman punches Poison Ivy in the gut. That's just, they deserve
it. Well, part of what's problematic about some of it to me, and what you seem to be saying is, you know, as time goes on and storylines develop, this is not necessarily the only representation, but so far, really, all I have seen, they do bad things, but that's all I've seen. There is no sort of, like, I don't know if you would call it a baby face, but there is no, like,
you've seen Luna
lady who's pretty much portrayed in a positive light. For the most part, it's, oh, look how fucking evil woman is. Now she's betrayed this guy for this other guy. And that's all they do, is betray guys for other guys to advance their, you know, own standing within the... That is more or less what I have seen. And again, like, I am perfectly willing to concede that that might not always be the case.
But you,
you
saw
know.
Different. You saw different. You bring up the case of woman, and you're like, all she does is betray guys to be with other guys. No, that was her plan. her plan was to act like she was betraying Sandman when she actually was not, to swerve the franchise Shane Douglas so that Sandman became the world champion. If there's anything you've seen, and I don't think they do a good job of it, but to be fair, I don't enjoy Nancy Benoit woman character, but hey, they never cease to remind you that woman's brilliant, that woman is the brains behind Sandman, that woman has some kind of nefarious plan, and that as long as woman is around, that, you know, she wants to be with the ECW champion, and she will do whatever it takes to keep herself with that belt so that she can be richer and more powerful. And she'd be the first to tell you, Joey Styles would be the second to let you know that there's almost no way that Cactus Jack will get that title as long as woman's around. I think they do a good job with woman. I mean, I don't think they do a good job, but I think it has more to do with her, her own shortcomings than it does the story they've given her.
Yeah, I think if there was a more dynamic personality playing that same role, I would maybe feel differently about it. She doesn't sell me on woman as being this cunning, manipulative mastermind pulling the strings.
But the role itself proves what I'm talking about.
I think, yeah, you have a point there, yes. But if, you know, but what I have actually been given just doesn't quite work for me.
Yeah,
and
but
I think it is because the lady doing it just doesn't.
If this was a movie, we wouldn't hold, like, and it was a good role for a lady, but, you know, goddamn, I don't know, name a lady actress. All I can think of is Tara Reid for some reason, and that seems like a poor example. But it's a great analogy for this. Tara Reid screws up a great role for women. Do we blame the director of the movie? Do we blame the movie? Or do we say Tara Reid didn't pull that one off?
Fair enough.
Yeah, and that's what Woman's a great character. Like, what they wanted Woman to be is brilliant, and I love her. And I love like, the idea of that. I don't love how it got pulled off, and I think at least 30% of that is I don't like the name Woman.
Yeah, that just, I can never quite get past that. And you've explained to me the, like, history behind it, and it was a whole sacrificial thing and blah, blah, blah. And
right.
But that's all fine,
but
it just sounds weird. It rings, it's like a tin, you know, it doesn't quite work for me. But again, it's not like it detracts from my overall appreciation of the thing itself. You know, once again, there are so many things where if I focus too much on that, I just would never like anything. I would just never be able to enjoy anything.
And we just go on.
I was saying, just to, you know, just for one moment to take a brief detour here. It's funny to me that now every once in a while, I feel like women are getting, you know, pop culture that actually does represent them in many different complex ways. I could not believe, I recently read an article that actually was complaining that the show Orange is the New Black did not represent men well or enough. Like, you mean the show that's all about women at a women's prison, you're complaining there aren't enough men on the what? Like, I really, like, was double-checking, like, this isn't a satire thing, this isn't some, like, onion rip-off kind of... No, this guy's actually making this argument. Boo-hoo fucking who. For once, ladies actually have a show where there's lots and lots of complex lady characters, and your gripe is boo-hoo the men, there's not enough of them. What?
Well, I mean...
Welcome to our world, gentlemen.
I don't disagree with you necessarily. I do wonder if, you know, I wonder if you could make a men's prison show in the same vein and it'd be half as successful. And I think there would be controversy then about, that's a fair example.
Oz.
That's a fair example. I never watched Oz. I never even think of it as a show.
I haven't either, but I know its reputation, and that's what that is. It's a show about a men's prison where there are lots of complex male characters, like,
and
most
very few
shows
ladies,
with
I'm
complex characters. Yeah, yeah. Because it's a men's prison. Just
right,
like Orange is the New Black is a women's prison. Therefore, guess what? Most of the characters are women.
I get your point. I don't know that you could do Oz now without people being like, hey, where are the ladies? That's my point. Oz was made in, what, the late 90s? Early 2000s?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not a fan. You know what I mean? I think these things would come up. I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing. And I don't think it's a bad thing to say, hey, there should be some dudes on Orange Is the New Black that are strong. Because, hey, even if it is a ladies' prison, there are men there. There are male guards. There are male counselors. There are male whatever.
Well,
I'm not saying that we
are...
need – Hold on. I'm not done.
Hold on.
I'm not saying that those – but I don't want those characters to dominate the show. I want – you know, I mean, I haven't watched it yet. I haven't decided if I'm going to or not yet, but it is a show about a ladies' prison, so it should the strongest characters, the main characters, should be ladies. I wouldn't have a problem with a really good supporting character that's like a male guard or what have you, but the problem, you know, would be is that, you know, if that guy somehow all of a sudden his stories start being really important and taking over the ladies' stories, it should be a story about women in prison.
There are at least 5 male characters I can think of off the top of my head who do have their own storyline. And part of his argument wasn't just there aren't enough dudes, but that when the dudes are there, they're not portrayed in a very positive way and aren't whatever. But the thing is, nobody on this show is really portrayed in a wholly positive light. Like most shows now, there is a level of, you know, moral complexity there. There's a lot of gray there because that's how people are. And
right.
I don't feel like most of the people on the show are prisoners, and therefore their backstories aren't always very pretty, and they're not always portrayed, and if they do bad things, just like some of the guys on the show do, and I just couldn't believe that somebody was actually complaining about that, and
it seems weird.
I didn't mean to go off on a tangent, but...
No, it's fine. We're talking about stuff. We talk about everything. We talk about ECW. We talk about Orange Is the New Black. We talk about the Kansas City Royals. We can do what we want. It's Herd Org World, Historic World, right here live, VOC Nation Worldwide. We're running this show, folks. You just enjoy it. Emily Scott here. I'm Dean Compton. Going to take a quick break, come back, talk a little more ECW to finish this bad boy out. Really appreciate you staying up late with us. We'll be back right after this.
This is King Kong Bundy, and you're listening to the VOC Nation.
The godless voice of Crab Nation.
None of these assholes would have the balls to say any of this to anyone live.
I get hard as one of them stones. I'm going to hurl at a homosexual.
He's got 6 ounces of weed,
and he's saving his roaches?
Bangable and diabetic.
Pop the car keys.
This is Stevie Wonder.
Free speech zone should just be the air, motherfucker.
Catch the crabs on Crab Nation Live weekdays.
Noon to 2 p.m. Pacific, 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the VOC Nation.
Hey, I'm the mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart. Are you tired of paying high telephone and internet bills for your business? It's time to call NetCarrier, baby! If you're ready to take your phone service into the cloud, NetCarrier is the place to go to get the best in telecommunication service. Call NetCarrier today for a free analysis of your phone bills. 877-255-7733. That's right, 877-255-7733. Call now.
Looking for a DJ? Looking for someone to host your event? Then look no further. Philadelphia's hottest DJ and host, The Voice of Choice. The Voice of Choice has hosted the hottest events in the tri-state area. Book The Voice of Choice for all your karaoke, conventions, and parties. Go to www.vocnation.com for more information or email The Voice of Choice at voc@vocnation.com.
Hey there, hi there, ho there, thanks for coming on down. It's Save Wrestling, the podcast and the business making towns. Hear all about how I make towns and so much more every Monday, right before Raw, 6 p.m. Eastern, here on the VOC Nation. Adios.
The Voice of Choice here. Are you looking for a videographer for your event? Maybe a wedding, party, company video? Well, listen, Metro Media Studios is focused on providing high-quality service and customer satisfaction, and they'll do everything they can to meet your needs. They got a variety of services to choose from. They'll make sure that you get the professionally produced video of your dreams. MetroMediaStudios.com. That's Metro with an A, MediaStudios.com. Check them out today.
It's not easy being in IT today.
Data is growing exponentially, technology is changing at an accelerating pace, and the consequences of unplanned downtime are more serious than ever. StoragePipe helps eliminate these risks by automating all the data protection and disaster recovery for your laptops, servers, and virtual systems through a single provider. StoragePipe can help you free up more time, recover faster, and improve the reliability of your backup process. Visit StoragePipe.com.
Business owners, prepare to take charge. Get the latest trends in business and technology every Tuesday at 12 p.m. Eastern, presented by NetCarrier. Tweet your business questions in advance at NetCarrier using the hashtag TakeChargeTuesday. Or call live toll-free at 855-BOC-RADIO.
This is TNA Knockout, Madison Rain, and you're listening to the VOC Nation.
Live from the In the Room studios located in the Net Carrier and Cloud, this is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Sometimes I like to come back from break and just sound really quiet and just let the break come into that silence and then be like this. But this show's extreme, folks. It's Hard Art World, Hard Art World. Talking ECW. Dean Compton here alongside Emily Scott. About 10 minutes left in the show. One of the things that I think that... Go on.
For a second, I thought you were doing like an NPR voice. Like... And we're back now. We're going to talk about hand-woven baskets in New England.
Crisis in Palestine is growing to ever-heightening tension. Like, that's what they say. They say everything in that voice, no matter what. Like, the giant wasp is currently stinging my penis. That's what they say. They say it in that voice, no matter what happens.
Makes me think of the Family Guy thing. There's like a thing where like a lady's like, I'm going to turn on the radio for the dog while I'm gone. And it's like, I can hear you now. Buzz, buzz, buzz. You hear me in your ear? It's like a bee. Buzz, buzz, buzz.
Well, I didn't understand the words you said.
Well, it's hard to with them too, so it was appropriate. It was a fairly accurate representation.
I get the joke now. Her dork world is dork world. Catching up. Catching up. Talk to me about one of the things that I have noticed is that your interest in Extreme Championship Wrestling has made you more willing to watch other wrestling.
Yes, we watched some, was it WCW, I believe?
Yeah.
And I quite enjoyed that, and there were lots of good matches and plenty of very talented wrestlers on display, and it was all over the
good. Of course, but... One match involved Cactus Jack, so of course, you know, it's about the same as you get in ECW.
But again, it's all those sort of extra things. It's the crowd, and it's, you know, like Joey Styles is just amazing, and I was immediately won over by him and just very charmed by him and wanted to, like, cosplay. So I was like, I'm going to go to a convention. There's Joey Styles sometime. Like, where did that come from? I don't know, but he's just that great. He's just that great. He inspires that sort of fierce me, like, this is my guy, kind of, you know, this is my announcer. He's giving me the inside scoop. And, so it's stuff like that. Like, the announcers on the WCW match, one of them was all right. One of them was just, what the hell is this man saying? You'll have to tell me their names. I can't remember.
Bobby the Brain Heenan is the one that was okay. Tony Schiavone is the one that's awful. One of the things I wanted to say about Joey Styles that I tried to say three times, but you wouldn't let me in, was that Joey Styles lends a credence of respectability to the maelstrom that is Extreme Championship Wrestling, that without him, I don't know that you would take it as seriously. Although he reacts incredulously, you know, to stuff that's incredulous, but his ability to know the moves and his ability to convey the emotion that is appropriate for whatever interview or match is going on is entirely intertwined in the charm that is ECW.
He's obviously very knowledgeable, and he's obviously, you know, as much as he's sort of a professional about it, whatever that means in this context, he... you get enthusiastic because he is enthusiastic. He's a really good cipher. He's a really good, like, your man there. And that's, you know, I call him, really, like, he's your guy. Like, that's what he feels like. Like, he's reacting the way you would react if you're there. And,
well,
you know, he loves knocking on Stevie Richards. I love knocking on Stevie Richards. I like seeing him get the cracking out of him. So does Joey Styles.
One of the things that he does is he's very much the Jimmy Olsen role, and that he's the guy who is normal in a world of superhumans going, wow.
Yeah.
So you can relate to that. He's that everyman. And he's a great announcer in his own right, and I don't think any other announcer ever has or ever will do a pay-per-view solo again. You know, I think he's the only one. I think others could have done it, but he is the only one who did. Tell me about the best. Go on.
That's part of what's, I don't know, in a way sort of strange about how effective he is that it's just him. And the only time I think so far I've heard him talk to somebody else, he was doing commentary with Cactus Jack, and I think you had said it was really his first time doing it. And he clearly kind of, you know, isn't quite there yet with it. And it's just, it's kind of amazing
that
it's
being
just a guy talking to himself.
Scott.
Did I not say that?
Well, your pronouns didn't quite agree.
Oh. Very sorry.
No worries.
But it just really feels like he's talking to you, like to you personally. And there's just at the same time, you're right, he lends us all a great deal of credibility. There's a wink-wink that strikes just the right balance, like
right.
The exact right balance. He is the exact right person to be doing this.
He also
like
is amazing in his ability. He's also amazing in his ability to, like you just talked about, the wink-wink. There's a lot of humor in ECW. And it's amazing that he gets it over as well as the extreme violence and the severe emotion.
Yeah. And you never, I don't know, it never really sort of breaks a fourth wall in a bad way. You believe he cares this much.
Right.
And you care
that much,
too.
And you believe he thinks
too.
It's that funny when it's funny.
Absolutely, again. And he's a really funny guy, and he says lots of very funny things, a lot of them about what a douchebag Stevie Richards is, again, which I really appreciate.
Well, I mean, I think he also helps to get the jokes over, like, you know, we've watched some later matches with the FBI, with Tommy Rich and Tracy Smothers, who are decidedly not Italian, and, like, he makes it funnier because he's so incensed by it. He's like, they're not Italian! Like, he's mad out of all the things that are being pulled in Extreme Championship Wrestling. It's like, to him, that's like apparently the motherfucking Holocaust. They're not Italian! How can they do this? Earlier, someone was like, you know, putting barbed wire around someone's eyes, you know, but this is what makes him angry. And he does it in such a way as to where you're like, that's really funny and really good.
And he's really good at sort of selling, like, the storylines, the characters. Like, we were watching the four-way match and involved Shane Douglas. He's like, can you believe Shane Douglas is doing? Well, of course Shane Douglas is doing the things he's doing. But, you know, that the intense quality he has definitely translates. Like, it definitely gives you, like, yeah, I know, right? Yay!
Right. Yeah, I think he's an integral component to the promotion and everyone's love of it. Real quick, talk about your favorite wrestlers and then talk that you've seen, and then talk about a couple of your favorite matches. We got about 2 minutes left in the show. I might let you go over a little bit, but we'll probably have to watch some ECW after this is done in exchange for that.
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely like the franchise more than I thought that I would. He's somebody I had heard of, but didn't really, I don't know, he's a guy in some fringy boots. What do I care? But
right, and of course you like him. Of course you like him, and of course you had heard of him because he's from around the area you grew up. You did not grow up terrifically far from Pittsburgh.
Right, and you know, I tend to love this Pittsburgh sports team. Even if it's a sport I'm not particularly into, there is a Pittsburgh team that I'm going to like. And it was sort of nice. It made, you know, it kind of made me feel a little bit at home that I could root for a guy wearing some black and gold, even though I'm watching, you know, people put each other through tables. So, and you know, he's a great talker. He's a great talker, and that definitely helped some. Obviously, with the naming of the kitten, I'm a fan of Too Cold Scorpio. I enjoy watching people fly off of the ropes. That is something that I will never get tired of. It involves a great deal of athleticism and, like, you know, you're seeing things that, like, you know, gymnasts do, like Olympic-level gymnasts do, and it's these big guys doing it. You know, you see some of the stuff a guy like Bam Bam Bigelow could do, and you're like, how is that physically possible?
Right,
and even when it is
the littler guys like Psychosis or Rey Mysterio Jr., you're still like, how is that possible?
They are doing things with their bodies that, again, to me, it's always going to be infinitely more impressive to see a guy who's clearly honed a craft than, you know, a guy, anybody, you know, you can hit anybody with a chair, but can you do a, like, you know, Frankensteiner or whatever it's called?
No, that's correct. That's Frankensteiner and Hurricane Rana are the same move. But another thing you like, you really like guys who fly, but you're a big fan too. I mean, you've become a big fan of the technical wrestling, the grappling, the Dean Malenkos, the Chris Benoit's, the Eddie Guerrero.
It really is amazing stuff. I think that anybody who maybe has a stigma against wrestling like I had could watch this stuff and just be incredibly impressed. These are showmen of the highest order. They are athletes of the highest order. And, you know, they are just so impressive in so many different ways. They're doing this incredibly impressive wrestling. They're putting on a great show. They're keeping you invested and entertained the whole time. And you could watch, you know, those two guys, I could watch them wrestle 100 more times, and I would never get tired of it.
Well, most importantly, you know what they are?
What's that?
Dream.
Where is that?
Herd Orc World, His Dork World, want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. We'll obviously be coming back to Extreme Championship Wrestling. Emily Scott, thanks for being so wonderful. Thanks for being such a great co-host and enjoying Extreme Championship Wrestling so much.
ECW.
We'll see y'all next week, folks. Oh, you got to get one in. We'll be here next week, folks, Witching Hour, Thursday night. We want you here, too. VOC Nation Worldwide, I'm Dean Compton for Emily Scott. This has been Herd Orc World, His Dork World.
Whoa.